The following program is being shortwaved overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
3-4-L-G-A-T-T, Colgate presents Bill Stern.
With a Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate brushless fan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern bringing you the 294th edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Our guest tonight is the famous singing star of the screen, Alan Jones. But first, Reel One, Profile of a Soccer Player. This is the story of one of the greatest soccer players of all time. His name was John Hurd, and he lived in New Zealand. In fact, John Hurd was such a great soccer player that in 1885, thanks to his brilliant play, his team qualified to play for the championship of New Zealand. And there was great interest to see whether John Hurd could lead his team to the national title. But 1 hour before that game was to begin, John Hurd suddenly announced he would not play. The sporting world was amazed. Why should he suddenly quit just before the most important game of his career? And then the story came out. John Hurd was a sick man with an incurable skin disease, and the doctors had forbidden him to play. Well, that ended the soccer career of John Hurd. But shortly afterwards, his name again appeared in the newspapers. For one day, he announced that he had a remedy for his illness, but that his remedy was a secret. However, John Hurd agreed to share his secret remedy with any other men who had this same illness if they would agree to set sail with him upon an ocean voyage. The public's curiosity was aroused. What kind of a remedy was this that John Hurd thought he had? And why did he insist that he could only try a secret remedy on a ship out at sea? However, 23 other men who had the same sickness finally agreed to set sail with him and try a secret remedy. And so, John Hurd rented a large sailing ship, the SS Marlborough. And on this sailing ship, he installed his secret equipment. On January the 6th of 1890, the SS Marlborough set sail from Littleton, New Zealand. On board, beside John Hurd, were the 23 other sick men and the strange equipment that John Hurd promised would cure them. That was the last Hurd of the SS Marlborough for 8 long months. The last Hurd until one day, a passing ocean liner sighted her far out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The SS Marlborough presented a pretty picture, with a white sail set against the blue sky. Only one thing was wrong. She did not return the greeting that was flashed to her from the passing ship. The passing ship slowed down, and again tried to flash a greeting to the SS Marlborough, and again there was no reply. Why didn't she answer? The reason became evident when a boarding party was sent alongside to find out what was wrong. There wasn't a living soul on board the SS Marlborough. Only 23 skeletons were all that was left. All that was left of the men that John Hurd was going to cure with his secret equipment on board. But the secret equipment was still on board, even though no one could understand it. And rather than throw this equipment overboard, it was taken off the ill-fated ship and sent to the world's leading scientist, a doctor named Wilhelm Roentgen, who lived in Germany. Dr. Roentgen experimented and worked with this equipment for 5 years. And then one day, Dr. Roentgen discovered why John Hurd, the soccer player, had taken this strange equipment on board that ill-fated ship. For from that strange equipment, Dr. Roentgen developed the modern miracle of medical science, a machine you know as the X-ray. Profile of a soccer player who in death brought life to millions of people. Reel 2. Some real sense for you.
This program tonight is presented in cooperation with the Drug, Cosmetic, and Allied Industries by the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Colgate Brushless Shave Cream, on behalf of the Veterans Information Program, which Bill Stern will tell you about.
Last week, the newspapers carried a thrilling picture. It was the picture of young men who'd come home from the war, home for good. Let me repeat, they are home for good, and they deserve good jobs. Because our veterans have, for the most part, acquired skills, education, and experience, which fits them for good jobs. In many cases, veterans have been able to step into positions better than the ones they held before they were inducted. And there are those holding jobs in the mechanical, scientific, and engineering fields, which they could never hope to fill, were it not for the know-how they acquired in the armed forces. Now to parents and wives of fighting men, that is a mighty encouraging piece of news. For I know many a wife and many a father and mother too, who after the first joyous thrill of hearing that Bill or Joe was coming home, were just a little bit worried. They were thinking, what's he going to do? What kind of a job can he get? He's been away for 3 years. He's lost touch with civilian jobs and his life at home. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is your thought, your worry, then listen at the close of this program when we'll give you some actual examples of the better jobs available to veterans because of the new and valuable skill, training, and experiences which they've acquired in the Army, the Navy, or the Marine Corps. Reel 3. Colgate's camera close-up of Alan Jones. One of the most popular singers in pictures today is Alan Jones. He's currently starring on Broadway at New York's Paramount Theater. Here he is in person, Universal's famous singing star of the movies, Alan Jones.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Alan. Are you interested in sports?
Bill, if it hadn't been for sports, I might not have been a singer.
Well, just how do you figure that one out, Alan?
Well, because when I was a youngster growing up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, I began singing in a church choir. Until some tough kids in the neighborhood started to make fun of me by calling me a sissy.
Uh-huh, and what did you do?
Well, it was a case of either stopping singing in the choir or of licking those tough kids. So I learned to use my fist.
And?
The next time they started calling me a sissy, I let them have it.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I said if it hadn't been for sports, I might not be a singer.
Well, I get it now, Alan. Tell me, what other sports do you like?
Well, I like football, Bill. In fact, I played at New York University. And on the same team with me, there were three of the greatest football players I've ever seen.
You mean Al Lastman, Cowboy Hill, and Len Grant?
Right. Those three were not only great stars, they were inseparable. You never saw one without the other.
But, Alan, what's so strange about that?
Well, nothing except that all three died very suddenly. Al Lastman drowned, Cowboy Hill was shot, and Len Grant was struck by lightning.
Alan, were any of those deaths ever explained?
No, they never have been. That's one of the great mysteries of sport. Why, of all the men on a football team, those three buddies should each die a sudden tragic death, I can't explain it.
It is strange. And thanks for telling the story. Good luck and good night, Alan Jones.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Alan. Reel 4. Portrait of a love story. This is the month of June, the most romantic month of the year, for June is the traditional month of weddings. This story we're about to tell is a love story that begins in June. Many, many years ago in Pennsylvania, a youngster was born. They nicknamed him Jim. Jim grew up to be a great athlete. But of all the sports, Jim loved wrestling the best. He was a good wrestler, too. Good enough to win the wrestling championship of Pennsylvania. After Jim had been the wrestling champion of Pennsylvania for several months, one day he received a challenge to wrestle a champion of New York State, a man named Tom Hastings. Jim quickly accepted that challenge. And so it was, 2 weeks later, that Jim, representing the state of Pennsylvania, wrestled Tom Hastings, representing the state of New York. And, after a bitter wrestling match, the winner was Jim. Every paper in Pennsylvania carried Jim's picture after that wrestling match, and it made him famous. But Jim didn't care too much about this fame, because just before that wrestling match, Jim had met a lovely young girl, and he'd fallen in love with her. And she returned his love, too. They were very much in love, these two, so much so that they planned to be married. They might have been married if one day Jim hadn't received a letter that read, "Dear Jim, my father has forbidden me to marry you. He refuses to let me see you again. He says you can never support me, and he won't let me marry a wrestler. I told him you'd give up wrestling, but it's no use, Jim. I have to obey my father. But no matter where you are or what you do, I'll always be in love with you." Jim couldn't believe that letter. He tried desperately to see his fiancée, but it was no use. And shortly afterward, she was found dead. There are those who say she took her own life. Perhaps, perhaps not. But Jim never forgot her. He vowed that if he couldn't have her, he'd never love anyone else. And he never did. He remained a bachelor for the rest of his life, faithful to her memory as long as he lived. And he never wrestled again either. The years drifted by after that. Dreary, lonely, empty, unhappy years. Until 40 years later, Jim died too. Still a bachelor, still faithful to the memory of the girl he'd loved 40 years before. For he died holding her letter in his hand. A letter that was yellow with age. A letter that began, "Dear Jim, my father has forbidden me to marry you. He refuses to let me see you again. He says you can never support me." Jim must have smiled when he read those long familiar lines written 40 years before. For in the 40 years since that letter had been written, Jim had become successful. You see, Jim's full name was James Buchanan. And he was so successful that he had become the President of the United States. And now you know why this nation's only bachelor president never married. All because of a wrestling match. A wrestling match in which James Buchanan defeated the New York State champion. But maybe you'd also like to know what happened to that New York State champion. Remember, his name was Tom Hastings? Well, after he was defeated by James Buchanan, Tom Hastings never wrestled again either. Yet he too became famous, very famous. For in later years, it was this same Tom Hastings who wrote the most famous church hymn of all time, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Portrait of a wrestling match that was destined to begin the career of a president and a great church hymn. Reel 5. Charles F. McCarthy.
A few minutes ago, Bill Stern spoke about returning veterans and told how many returning servicemen have stepped into jobs calling for special skills and training. Now, just let me give you a few of the different kinds of jobs which our veterans can fill because of what they have learned in the Army and Navy. Well, an aerial gunner might become a meter repairman or ballistic expert. An artillery mechanic could become a truck mechanic, aircraft mechanic, or fuel system installer. A radar repairman could be a radio electrician, public address serviceman, or instrument maker. The list is long, the variety is great. The opportunities are many, and they cover the business, scientific, technical, industrial, and engineering fields. It is indeed assuring to know that when our men return for good, they will have new skills and training for worthwhile jobs. In many cases, better jobs than they had before. This program is presented in cooperation with the Drug, Cosmetic, and Allied Industries by the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company. And now, back to Bill Stern.
Reel 6, Colgate Candid Camera catches the story behind the story. Exclusive, Los Angeles, California. California papers, please check. The new coach of the Los Angeles team in the All-American Football Conference will be the former coach of Notre Dame, Frank Leahy. Cincinnati, Ohio. Wade Hoyt, former big league pitcher who mysteriously disappeared from his home in Cincinnati yesterday, is tonight back home safe and sound. Kansas City, Missouri. Quite a few years ago, in the Kansas State Professional Baseball League, there was a ball player playing under the name of Wilson. But Wilson was not his real name. For you see, this professional ball player who used that name of Wilson was actually Dwight Eisenhower. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, as usual, we'll be back same time, same station, with another edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Our guest next Friday evening will be the famous orchestra leader, Cab Calloway. So be sure and be with us next Friday night at our usual time when we present as our guest one of the most famous orchestra leaders in the nation, Mr. Cab Calloway. Until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, until this very same time next Friday night, this is Bill Stern for Colgate Shave Cream wishing you all a good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports, he rose the inside dope, he really knows, so listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Mr. Alan Jones appeared on this program tonight, courtesy of Universal Pictures and the New York Paramount Theater, where he is now appearing. Bill Stern's latest Columbia sports short, entitled Hi-Ho Rodeo, is now playing the nation's theater.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.